WMFO Medford. Unlike milk, long-distance telephone calls, and library books, there is no due date, tolls, or expiration in the grand hour. Pre-recorded.
Thank you, Henry. Good morning. It's the 8th of July, 2020. For the first half of the show, I'm going to play A Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey. Actually, because it has sort of a show arc with Jack Johnstone. Jack Johnstone also directed one of my favorite westerns, The Six Shooter. So we'll start off here with episode 634, titled The Winsome Widow Matter, with an original air date of the 26th of March, 1959. My name is Arthur, and you're listening to the Grand Hour here on 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org.
From Hollywood, it's time now for
Johnny Dollar.
This is long distance. Pat McCracken in Hartford, Connecticut is returning your call, Mr. Dollar.
Oh, thanks, operator. Put him on.
One moment, please.
Hello?
Hi, Pat.
Oh, Johnny. Hey, this message I found. Boy, I'm glad you called. Say, what under the sun are you doing in Los Angeles?
Just down here for a confab with Jack Johnstone. You know, the guy who dramatizes the cases I handle and puts them on the air.
Yeah, yeah. Give him my best.
And I just wondered if you had anything out here I can do before heading back to Hartford.
And if so, it'll give you a chance to put your travel charges on the expense account.
What else?
Well, Johnny, I got a wire from him just a few minutes ago. You contact Herb Schilling at the Greater Southwest Insurance Company right there in L.A.
Okay, we'll do.
And you can address your expense account to them.
Right.
Oh, Johnny?
Yeah?
Have you got a gun with you?
Sure, Pat, I always... Huh? Why do you ask that?
Well, judging by Herb's wire, Johnny, you may need it.
Bob Bailey in the exciting adventures of a man with the action-packed expense account. America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
A young lady by the name of Scheherazade kept her audience of one enthralled for 1,001 nights with one of the longest stories in history. That's a long time to devote to one chronicle, but some of CBS Radio's winning 7 weekday dramas have put that record in the shade, entertaining audiences in the millions with many times 1,001 days of continuing dramatic serials. Each weekday on the CBS Radio Network, there's a wealth of daytime drama, including such outstanding serials as The Romance of Helen Trent, The Couple Next Door, Ma Perkins, Whispering Streets, The Right to Happiness, The Second Mrs. Burton, and Young Dr. Malone. Monday through Friday, follow these absorbing, true-to-life stories. Only CBS Radio brings you the winning 7 combination of top daytime dramas. Another important reason for the different sound of this CBS radio station. And now, Act 1 of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar.
Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to the Greater Southwest Insurance Company, Los Angeles office. Following is an account of expenses incurred during my investigation of the Winsome Widow matter. Expense account item one, $1.40 for a taxi from my hotel in West L.A. to Greater Southwest Insurance in one of those big office buildings on Wilshire Boulevard's Miracle Mile. Herb Schilling almost fell off his chair when I barged in on him.
Dollar.
Hiya, Herbie.
Look, I know that some of those new jet flights are pretty fast, but I only sent that wire to Pat McCracken a couple of hours ago.
I didn't waste any time trying to make plane connections, Herb. Just flew out under my own power.
Yeah. You're kidding, I know. But where were you when you got the word from McCracken?
Right here in your own fair city.
Oh, I wish I'd known that. Even those couple of hours could have been saved.
Oh? What's the big problem?
A little matter of a liquor store holdup. Only I'm afraid this one wasn't so little.
Then tell me all.
Yeah, sit down. Johnny, for some reason or another, these places that sell bottle goods are a pretty frequent target for stick-ups. Here in Los Angeles, there have been quite a few of them over the years.
I'm surprised you insure them.
And needless to say, premiums are pretty high. And at least so far as our company's concerned, the policies are somewhat limited. That is, insofar as maximum allowable coverage is concerned.
Makes sense.
On the whole, we've been pretty lucky. By that I mean we've had to pay off relatively few claims. But now in the case of Willie Lehman...
Who's Willie Lehman?
His store is out in West Los Angeles at 10921 Santa Monica Boulevard.
And that's only about a mile from where I'm staying.
Well, the old man opened up his place late in 1951.
Oh?
Yes, 61. Early in 1952, he had his first holdup. The bandits got away with something over $900. So he bought some insurance from us.
Well, go on.
Since then, there have been seven more attempted stick-ups there.
A total of eight in as many years, huh?
Yeah.
Then your company must be getting a bit tired of paying off.
No, because after the second time...
He know how to use it?
He certainly did. He had a lot of medals from some German outfit he was in during the last war. Anyhow, he suffered no more losses. That is, until last night.
Oh, how much?
In money.
What else?
Something like over $400 out of the cash register, as nearly as the police can figure from the register slip.
Well, couldn't Lehman tell you how much?
No. Because you see, Johnny, he also lost his life.
Oh. And I take it you wrote his life insurance, too.
That's right. $30,000.
I see.
Look, it's a little late in the day, but you want to go out there and check with the police?
Sure. I'll be in touch. Item two, $50. Deposit on a drive-your-own car. I passed up 10921 Santa Monica Boulevard and went right on out west to West L.A. Police Headquarters. There I ran down Sergeant Mike Kirby, who was covering the whole affair. Mike turned out to be a young, alert guy on the ball and completely cooperative.
That's right, Dollar. Eight times since he opened the place in 51. And that's way out of line.
Yeah, I should certainly think so.
And the last three stick-ups have been within the past 10 weeks.
Hmm. Sergeant, my contact at the insurance company, Herb Schilling, tells me that Willie Lehman managed to fight off most of the bandits.
He told you right, Dollar. Lehman was not only a crack shot, but I guess he was pretty quick on the draw. It was only last month that he killed one of the two men that tried to hold him up.
Two men? What about the other?
I'm way ahead of you.
Huh?
We find that other man, we find the killer. Probably.
It seemed like a pretty safe bet. But look, Mike... If there were so many tries at this one place and so many all at once...
Stakeout?
Sure, somebody watching over the place.
We tried it. As long as we had somebody there, you know, sitting in the back or working behind the counter or just watching from across the street, nothing happened. But the minute we took them away, bing, another holdup try. Somehow they seemed to know whenever we had the place under surveillance.
And more important, when you didn't. Well, what have you got to work on?
Oh, nothing but a couple of bullets, I'm afraid. Want to take a run over and look at the place?
Sure, Mike. Why not? The liquor store was closed, but there were lights on in the living quarters above it. We knocked a couple of times, but got no answer. So Mike used the key that he had. He and his men had been careful to leave things as they'd been at the time of the killing.
He was lying right there, Dollar, as though he'd come around the end of the counter.
Near that door to the back room, huh?
Yeah. That door also leads upstairs to the apartment. He must have taken a couple of shots at the bandit. You see where the bottles were broken over on the shelf?
Yeah.
No bloodstains or anything. I guess he missed for once. But not the bandit. Caught him right in the heart, Johnny. Bullet went in at the right shoulder, then down through his heart and stopped against the lower left rib.
Of course, until you get a lab report on that bullet.
Well, it must be his wife. But why she didn't answer when we knocked on the door. Good evening, Mrs. Lehman.
Oh, no. Are you here again? Please, Sergeant, do you have to come around at all hours? Hmm?
Oops. Hold everything. Lehman had been 61. But his wife, Gloria, couldn't have been more than 30. Tall, dark, she was obviously very proud of her highly commendable figure. Yeah, and she was pretty. That is, almost. Maybe it was just a little too much makeup, especially around the eyes that she knew how to use so well. A little bell had rung in the back of my head. Yeah. And since I'd noticed a phone booth at the gas station next door, item 3, 10 cents for a call.
Johnny.
That's right, Herb, and I'm sorry to call you at home.
That's all right, Johnny.
But there's one thing I forgot to ask you about when I talked to you.
Yeah, what's that?
Who's the beneficiary of old man Lehman's life insurance?
Why, his wife, Gloria, Johnny.
Thank you, Herb Schilling.
Act two of yours truly, Johnny Dollar, in a moment. When Fidel Castro was biding his time in a remote fastness in Cuba, only a network like the CBS Radio Network had the equipment and manpower to go in and bring out the background of his revolutionary movement, his own words on what was to come and how it would come about. When major news breaks anywhere in the world, only a network like CBS Radio has correspondents on the scene or within short range. Only news like CBS News is global in scope and is up to the minute as a direct report from on the scene. That's why millions prefer CBS News on CBS Radio and its affiliated stations to every other reporting medium for speed, for accuracy. Remember, when the story's big, only a news-gathering force like ours can scoop it up and send it slicing through space to your set, packaged for immediate delivery. Get it first, and get it right. Make CBS News on CBS Radio your listening post on the world. And now, Act Two of yours truly, Johnny Dollar and the Winsome Widow Matter.
After the phone call to Herb Schilling, I went back into the liquor store where Sergeant Mike Kirby was still talking to Lehman's widow, Gloria.
You mean you don't plan to reopen the store at all, Mrs. Lehman?
Not if I can help it. I'll sell this dump to the first person I find has enough money to buy it.
And then what, Mrs. Lehman?
Why don't you call me Gloria, huh? Everybody else does. And who are you, anyway, Johnny? You aren't a cop, and you don't look like a dick.
Well, thanks.
Mr. Dollar's here because of the insurance involved.
But from the insurance company?
That's right.
Well, listen, Willie had some insurance.
I know.
I mean, on himself, as well as the store. I don't know how much it is, but he promised me that he'd buy some.
It was your idea that he insure his life?
Sure, an old guy like him. I figured he'd up and die sometime while I was still young and beautiful, so why shouldn't I let him provide something for my future, like they say? Who ever thought he was going to die as soon as this?
Whoever planned and carried out his murder?
You mean somebody planned to kill him this way?
Just where were you when it happened, Gloria?
I was upstairs in bed, asleep. Look, I've told the cops all about it.
Well, you must have heard the shooting.
I'll say I did.
And what did you do?
Well, I put on a robe and come running down here. Well, I see the cash register open and poor old Willie laying there. And when I see that he's dead, I phone the police.
You didn't see anybody else down here?
Well, by the time I got here, whoever did it was gone.
You don't seem at all upset over your husband's murder.
Now, you want me to put on an act? Don't you know that he was twice as old as I am?
Then why did you marry him?
Well, you know how it is. A chance to settle down and let somebody else support you for a change. Made him happy to have me around, and I guess I liked it okay, too, for a while. But gee, what a bore. All he did was talk about getting enough money to go back to the old country. Well, who wants to go back to any old country when you can have such a ball in this one? I know I always have, even when I was married to old Willie. Of course, he just didn't always know where I was half the time. Well, don't you like having fun, Johnny? Hmm? I mean, with people more like your own age, hmm? How old are you, Johnny? Well, don't answer it. No, don't answer it. The place is closed.
Well, it might be for me, Mrs. Lehman.
Oh, yeah.
Kirby. Yeah?
And listen, Johnny.
Oh.
If you can get me that insurance money in a hurry, well...
Yeah, good.
I'll want you to know I appreciate it.
Gloria, how long ago were you married to Willie Lehman?
Last September.
Yeah.
Oh?
Now, why do you say it that way?
Okay,
I told you, Johnny, I married the old man so he could take care of me.
Excuse me, Johnny, I got to get back to headquarters. Ballistics downtown is sending up a report on the bullets we found.
Oh, good.
Also, Bob Golden picked up a bum in a saloon, and it looks like he's the one that did this job.
They picked up the guy that killed Willie?
Looks like it. You want to come with me, Johnny? Well, do you or don't you?
Yeah, Mike. I'll go along with you.
I told you. I told all those other cops. I'm the guy that heisted the dough out of Lehman's Liquors last night.
Then you shot and killed him, Benny.
Oh, no. No, I tell you, I didn't do it. That's the truth. So help me, that's the truth.
Are you trying to say somebody else went in there and shot him after you left, Benny?
Well, I don't know.
There was no reason if you'd already taken his money.
I don't know. How should I know? You think I stuck around there after I got his dough?
How many shots did you fire at him, Benny?
How many shots? Why, I didn't fire none. You saw that gun the cops took off of me. It was made of rubber. That's all it was. It was made of rubber. If I hadn't got stupid and gone out and got drunk and showed it to somebody and told them how I got away with the money from that liquor store with it, you think these dumb cops had ever got wise to me?
You didn't fire a single shot.
How could I? I waved my rubber gun at him. He reaches under the counter. He comes up empty, so he gives me the dough and I leave.
You're lying, Benny.
You make a paraffin test, Mike.
Yeah, and I think this is the result of it. Well, Conroy?
The paraffin test was negative, Sergeant. No sign of powder on either of his hands. Also, Sergeant...
Yeah, you see? I told you I never had no real gun.
All right, Benny.
I told you all I did was rob that joint.
Shut up, Benny. Yeah, Conroy?
Also, Sergeant, here's the report from downtown on the bullets from the list.
Good, yeah, let me have them.
And also, they returned that gun of Mr. Lehman's that they found beside his body. There's no prints at all on it. Now,
Johnny,
is there anything else?
Hey, look at this.
Yeah?
Conroy?
Yes, sir.
Get this bum out of here. Lock him up upstairs.
Yes, sir. Come on, Benny.
You wise guys can't pin no murder rap on me. You wait till I get a lawyer.
Oh, yeah, we'll wait.
What's it say, Mike? Listen. The bullet that killed Willie Lehman and the bullets we pulled out of the wall of that store.
Huh?
Johnny, they all came from Lehman's own gun.
Well, how about that?
In other words, with the help of that phony rubber pistol, Benny somehow got Lehman's gun away from him. Maybe Lehman had already pulled off a couple of shots and missed, but the one that killed him...
Oh, yeah. The paraffin test showed no powder on Benny's hands.
Then he must have worn gloves. He must have killed Lehman.
You want to bet?
Then who did? Well, first, I think I'd better get some proof.
Act three of yours truly, Johnny Dollar, in a moment. When friends drop in, let your hospitality show you're sociable in the modern manner. Pepsi, you know, is the favorite of the smart and young at heart.
Be sociable.
Have you tried a Pepsi lately? Now, Act Three of yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Listen, Mike, you're overlooking one thing.
Like what, Johnny?
That Benny's a shaky old bum, a wino. Suppose he'd gone into that liquor store with a real gun instead of that phony little rubber one you boys found on him.
Well?
You think for a minute he could have stood up against a crack shot like you say Lehman was?
Well, now, that's besides...
Of course not. Now, could he get Lehman's gun away from him and kill him with it? Ever since he kept the gun in that store, not a single hold-up man has got the better of him. He even killed one of them a month ago.
That's very true.
All right. Now, I think I can get your killer for you. Only you have to let me get her my own way.
Her?
That's right.
You mean Lehman's wife, Gloria?
That's right.
Johnny, I thought of her, too. Motive, opportunity, everything. But proof.
Let me handle it my own way.
But if she didn't do
it... If I'm wrong, it won't be any reflection on you, on your record.
Oh. I see what you mean.
Okay. We'll take my car. And you got to promise me one thing.
What's that?
That you'll stay outside, that you won't make any move until I ask you to, no matter what happens.
Well, now, Johnny...
Otherwise, you can try hauling her in yourself. But, of course, if you're wrong about her...
Okay, Johnny, let's go.
Glad you came alone, Johnny. I'm getting awful tired of having all those cops around here.
All right, listen, Gloria.
And you are going to get that $30,000 insurance money for me in a hurry, aren't you? You know how long it'll take for me to get the rest of his stuff here in this state. A guy dies, it's sometimes a couple of years before they... What's the matter, Johnny?
$30,000, huh?
What?
I thought you didn't know the amount of that insurance.
Well, Johnny...
Gloria, the only recent attempts at a holdup were made between the times the cops had a stakeout here, right?
Yes, that's right, Johnny.
Then somebody must have passed the word around when everything was clear.
You think so? Gee,
that's... Yeah, and I also think that the only people who knew when the police weren't here were you and your husband.
Well, you don't think he'd go around blabbing it?
No, I don't.
Well, then... Now, wait a minute, Johnny Dollar.
Don't get your back hair up, Gloria. Not yet.
What?
Your husband was good enough with a gun to have thwarted 7 robbery attempts in a row.
That's right.
So I think he could have prevented his own murder if he'd had his gun last night.
Well, of course he had it. They found it laying next to his body.
Somebody was glad to see these holdups, these attempts anyway, because it provided a perfect excuse to kill him.
Now, listen, Johnny.
He kept the gun under the counter, didn't he?
Sure. Right here, under the register.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to put my gun there.
What are you up to, Johnny?
Get behind the counter a minute. About where he'd stand when a customer came in.
Well, sure. Right about here.
So last night, a man came in and he stood about here. He pulled a toy gun out of his pocket, demanded the money in the register.
What is this?
What would your husband have done? Well...
Grab the gun. Like this.
You're pointing that right at me, you know.
That's what you would have done.
But there was no gun there last night. Because you had taken it. And when the bandits left, you were standing up on the stairs there at the back. You'd come down from your apartment.
What are you talking about?
The bullet that killed him went from his right shoulder down to his heart. Down to the lower ribs. Because you were up on the stairs when you shot him. Then you fired a couple of shots into the wall and you call the police.
You can prove that, Johnny, enough for the cops.
When I tell them, Gloria...
But you won't, Johnny, because it happened just the way you said, but you're never going to tell
them. Gloria!
Too late, Johnny! No! 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 You took the bullets up! You tricked me! You tricked me!
That's right, Gloria.
Dirty, double-crossing! You lying cheat!
You happy, Sergeant? Pretty obvious, I guess, right from the beginning. But as I said, getting proof, or in this case, a confession, isn't always so easy. Anyhow, expense account total, including mileage on the rental car and the trip back to Hartford, I'll call it 250 even. Okay? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Our star will return in just a moment.
Can you get premium gasoline performance at regular gasoline price? Find out what so many other car owners have found. In 3 out of 5 cars, regular priced Sinclair Dino gasoline matches performance of premium gasolines, saves you up to 4 cents a gallon. Almost anywhere you see the Sinclair sign, you can save up to 4 cents a gallon with Dino and still get premium performance and mileage. Drive with care and buy Sinclair Dino Gasoline. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, is written by Jack Johnstone, produced and directed by Fred Hendrickson. Johnny Dollar is played by Vandell Kramer. Also featured in our cast were Jackson Beck, Joseph Julian, Jack Grimes, Bob Maxwell, and Peter Fernandez. Music supervision by Ethel Huber. Sound patterns by Walter Otto. Tomorrow begins a new week's hilarity with Arthur Godfrey Time on the CBS Radio Network.
Okay, you heard episode 634 of yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey in The Winesome Widow Matter, with an original air date of the 26th of March, 1959. Again, I decided on that because there's kind of a story arc there with Jack Johnstone, who is a director, producer of several different radio programs over the years. I actually think he was involved in the original Superman series. That's just going from memory here. We're going to have to pause here for fulfill some FCC obligations. This show has been previously recorded, which to me seems kind of redundant because most of these shows I play are obviously previously recorded, as well as most of the folks here at WMFO that play music. Those songs have been previously recorded. But enough yammering here. Let's fulfill this FCC obligation.
A social distancing tip.
Keeping your distance from others is important in slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are some fun things to do alone. Read a book. Take a walk. Unpack your suitcase from that trip you took last September. Paint a self-portrait. Catch up on a TV series. Do a puzzle. Remember, we should all stay home to lower the risk for everyone. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Thank you, Ad Council, for the second half of the Grand Hour here with Arthur, pre-recorded on 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org. I'm going to feature episode, it's kind of conflicting here. I've seen it's a episode 35 or episode 37 of Gunsmoke, called Paid Killer, with an original air date of the 17th of January, 1933. I'm sorry, 1953. Sorry, I have a new microphone. It's too big and I can't see.
Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gun smoke. Starring William Conrad. The story of the violence that moved west with young America. The story of a man who moved with it. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Hey, over here.
One of the boys said you wanted to see me.
Yeah.
It better be important, mister. I don't make a habit of coming running with some saddle punk whistles.
Maybe you hadn't ought to make a habit of calling people saddle punks.
No offense, just an expression.
Sure. I came up from the Pecos country. Been here in Dodge about a week. Maybe you've seen me around.
I've seen you.
I've been talking to people.
Oh?
Everybody tells me you were a big shot back in Abilene. Had all the games sewed up, three or four saloons paying off, a couple of hotels and so on. Then the boom busted and you come here, and you got nowhere. Know why?
You're talking, you tell me why.
Dillon. A fella named Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. You tried to scare him and he wouldn't scare. Tried to buy him and wouldn't buy. Tried breaking him, wouldn't break.
So?
Be worth $5,000 to you if I kill it?
Might.
All right, get it in gold. Keep it handy. My heart?
Yeah, you're hired. Chester, I know you've been sick and you still got a cold, but is there anything else wrong?
What do you mean, Mr. Dillon?
Well, you haven't said three words in the last 20 minutes. That's not like you.
Well, Mr. Dillon, did you ever get a funny feeling somebody was keeping an eye on you?
Well, yeah, but...
Well, I got one right now.
Chester, I think you got a touch of the heebie-jeebies.
Maybe, but I tell you, I know there's
somebody...
Well,
as far as I can see, there's nobody in the whole place even paying any attention to us.
Somebody is. I had the same feeling the day the Butler brothers come back from Santa Fe.
Yeah?
I didn't even know they was in town, but I knew somebody was getting ready to call us. And about 6 that evening, they made their play, remember?
Yeah, I remember.
I was one of the pallbearers the next day. Well, it's the same thing now. There's gonna be trouble, Mr. Dillon. You can bet on it.
I think you got the wind up over nothing, Chester. Why, the town's never been quieter. Jail's been empty for 2 weeks. Only new faces around is that bunch of trail drivers that came up from the Pecos. They're all strangers. None of them got any reason to hold a grudge.
Oh, there you be.
What?
I've been looking all over for you, Marshal.
Oh, hiya, Billy.
Waited over to the jail for nigh on to an hour. I got to talk to you, Mr. Dillon.
I'm sorry, Billy, but every time I give you money, you buy yourself a bottle and then stay blind drunk for 2 days.
It ain't money this time, Mr. Dillon. I got something to tell you.
Oh? What?
Something I hear. There's a couple fellers talking over to the livery stable. They didn't see me. I was back at the water trough. Sort of, well, resting, you might say.
Yeah, I know.
Well, you know how it is, Mr. Dillon. A man gets dry in this prairie country and he just...
What were they talking about, Billy?
About you. One of them offered to kill you for $5,000 in gold, and the other one took him up on it.
There, what did I tell you?
Who were they, Billy? Janone?
No, sir. It was dark and I didn't recognize their voices. They was already there when I woke up and they left right after that.
Well, maybe they... Maybe it was just some kind of a joke.
Oh, it didn't sound that way to me.
No, sir, it's no joke, Mr. Dillon. I told you I felt it. There's somebody in this room right now, somebody who's been hired to kill you.
Yeah, but who?
I don't know. Can you figure who'd want to do such a thing, Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, I can figure a dozen or two, Chester.
Well, if
Chester,
if
look, as far as Dodge City is concerned, I'm the law. Now, there are plenty of men here who'd think they'd do better without any law. I guess it's nothing personal.
Well, personal or not, it's got me jumping sideways at my own shadow.
Ah, here we are. Come on.
Well, morning, Marshal. Haven't seen you since the robbery last month.
Attempted robbery, Mr. Greeley.
Yeah, so it was, thanks to you. Well, Mr. Dillon, the bank's at your service. What can I do for you?
Give me some information, if you will.
Well, if it isn't confidential...
It is, but I want it anyway.
Well, hard to know what to say. Perhaps you'd better step into my office. This way, gentlemen.
Thank you.
After you, Mr. Greeley.
Now, just what was it you wanted to know?
I want to know whether one of your customers has drawn $5,000 in gold from the bank in the last few days.
Any particular person in mind?
No, that's what I want to find out.
Well, I hope this won't go any farther, Marshal.
So somebody did, huh? Who was it, Mr. Greeley?
I certainly wish to make it clear that I don't approve of this man, but after all, he is a good customer, and it's not my place.
Yeah, I know. Who was it?
Lawson Hale.
Lawson Hale?
Yeah, he took the gold out just this morning, as a matter of fact. Said he was working on a cattle deal of some sort.
Yeah, figures all right. Hale's tried to move in on this town ever since he came here. Every time he's tried, I've stopped him.
I do hope you'll regard this as confidential.
Yeah, sure. Well, Chester, we know who one of them is now.
Yeah, but who's the other than Mr. Dillon? The one who's actually going to do it?
Some punk who wants $5,000 real bad and doesn't care how much he has to do to get it?
That sure doesn't narrow it down any.
Yeah, I know.
Sure quiet tonight, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah.
Not many people out.
No, not many.
The moon is throwing quite a bit of light.
Yeah, I guess it is.
Kindly makes a target out of a man.
Yeah, kind of.
If somebody was out to shoot somebody, this would sure be a good night for somebody to do it.
I suppose so.
Mr. Dillon.
Hmm?
Do you mind if I make a comment?
Well, I thought that's what you were doing, Chester.
Let's go on back to the jail and stay off the streets. This way you're just asking for it.
Chester, if it's going to come, it's going to come. I'd rather meet it halfway than to sit and wait for it.
Asking for it, that's what you're doing.
It's been 2 days now. It gets on your nerves. When you go out to bring a man in, you know you may have trouble and you're ready for it, but this way, and not knowing who or when or where or...
Yes, sir, well, I understand, Mr. Dillon. It kindly bothers a man.
Yeah. Let's walk down to the Texas Trail.
Good to see you, Matt. You've been avoiding us the last couple of days.
Busy, Kitty.
Something bothering you, Matt?
Bothering me?
Yeah.
Whatever gave you an idea like that?
Mr. Dillon.
What is it, Chester?
Lawson Hale just come in. He's down the bar there.
Oh, yeah. Maybe you ought to have a talk with him.
Well, that's one way.
That's the one I haven't tried yet. Excuse us, will you please, Kitty?
Well, sure, Matt. Whatever it is, be careful, huh? Yeah.
That lane was wide open.
Yeah.
I had it right in the palm of my hand.
Yeah. That's all.
The minute a trail driver hit town, the boys would grab their pay and they'd head straight.
Well, something I can do for you?
Yeah, I want to talk to you, Mr. Hale.
Well, I don't see anything stopping you.
We'll move down the bar a ways, if you don't mind. It's kind of private.
Sorry, Marshal. I'm fine right here.
I said we'll move down the bar.
If it's that important. Pardon me, boys. The Marshal's all head up about it.
Oh, sure.
Far enough?
Yeah, this is far enough. Lawson, I understand you've hired yourself a gunman. Sent him out to get me. Offered him $5,000 in gold.
I don't know what you're talking about, Dillon.
Wouldn't care to tell me his name.
No, I don't think so. You see, I don't know anything about it.
What's he waiting for? He's had 2 days now and he hasn't made a move.
Like I said, Dillon...
Why don't you do the job, Hale? You're wearing a gun. Maybe save yourself some money.
I've got no quarrel with you.
You mean you're yellow. Scared to call your own play.
I said I've
you're
got
You're a weaseling, no-good coward, Hale.
I'll let it ride for the time being. Yeah, I thought you would. Come on, Chester.
Yes, sir.
Let's go get some fresh air.
Well, I guess he's just not the kind to take chances, Mr. Dillon.
And not when he's got a hired killer out prowling somewhere. Chester, I'm going to run him out of Dodge if it's the last thing I ever do.
Dodge can stand it.
If I only knew who he'd hired, then I could force the play myself. This blasted business of having to leave it up to the other man. Waiting near that.
Over there by the stable.
Yeah, I saw the flash.
Maybe you got him, Mr. Dillon.
I don't know. Let's move in and find out.
Yes, sir.
Watch yourself, Chester. You may be playing possum.
Yes, sir. The flash was right here by the corner.
Yeah. Well, that's that.
Looks like you got away, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, he's gone.
Took one shot and then ran for cover.
He'll be back.
We will return for the second act of Gunsmoke in just a moment. But first, every Sunday afternoon, Robert Trout with the World News brings you up to the minute on CBS Radio. A special feature on this program every Sunday is a flying visit from one of our noted overseas news correspondents. Remember, tomorrow, for well-rounded views of the news at home and everywhere, don't miss Robert Trout with the news of the world on most of these same CBS radio stations. And now for the second act of Gunsmoke.
My cold sure no better tonight, Mr. Dillon. My, that fire sure feels good. Yes, sir, the old jail seems kind of cozy when a man's ailing like I am. Anyway, it's sure a lot better than prowling those streets waiting for somebody to put a bullet in the back of your neck.
Chester! Will you stop squeaking the chair?
Well, sorry, Mr. Dillon. Yell at me like that, puny as I'm feeling.
Two more days gone by and he hasn't made another move.
Yes, sir. That cottonwood sure burns up fast. I guess I better shake down the stove, throw another chunk of wood.
Wait a minute.
Huh?
Wait a minute. There might be a way at that, Chester. Lawson Hale, that's the only fact we're sure of. Lawson Hale.
It'd be kind of hard to prove anything, Mr. Dillon.
Who said anything about proving it? I got an idea. Come on.
Which one will we try first, Mr. Dillon?
The Texas Trail, I guess. He'll either be there or at the Longhorn.
All right, Mr. Dillon. What you gonna do?
Gonna arrest him, since he won't fight. You saw him back down the other night.
Yes, but you got no evidence. Mr. Dillon, you can't make it stick.
I don't intend to, Chester.
Well, then I don't see what
to say. What I can do is scare him. And if I figure him right, I think he's gonna scare easy.
Maybe so, but all the same...
Ah, look. Look, there he is, Chester. Just came out of the Longhorn.
A couple of fellas with him, Mr. Dillon. You don't suppose one of them could be...
No, they're hanging around for the free drinks. There's not an ounce of nerve in the three dozen of them. Come on, let's take him.
Yes.
You're right, the whole herd.
The whole herd?
Hale? Hold it just right where you are.
What seems to be the trouble now, Marshal?
No trouble. Unless you want to make some. You're under arrest.
What for?
I'll think of something later. Stick out your hands.
Whoa. You're taking me in without even making a charge? I'll remind you there's witnesses here.
Yeah, so I notice. When they're not hanging around you, they're around somebody else. What have you done, Hale? Hired them, too?
I asked you what the charge was, Marshal.
Vagrancy.
Vagrancy?
As far as I know, you've never had any visible means of support as long as you've been in Dodge City.
I'll match any dollar of yours with 100 better ones.
Well, that's fine. That'll help pass the time. Now, stick out your hands.
Oh, look here, Marshal.
Shut up.
Think you...
All right, Chester, put the cuffs on him.
Yes, sir. All right, hold still now. What?
Dillon, I'll break you for this.
It's been tried before. All right, boys, break it up. The party's over. You've had your last free drink out of this pump. All right, you, let's go to jail. Keep walking, Hale. It's the last cell on the left.
I'll break you, Dillon. So help me.
Well, you've been trying it for a year. I'm still around.
But you won't be after this. I'll take this up.
Hold up. Wait till Chester gets the door unlocked.
Haven't used this cell for so long, I've almost forgot which keys it is. There we are.
Vagrancy. I'm living in the best room in the commercial house.
Inside, Hale. Now go on, move.
No.
Now stick your hands up. You won't need those cuffs in here. All right, make yourself at home. Shut the door, Chester.
Yes, sir.
Dillon, you've got nothing to hold me on. I'll be out of here by tomorrow noon.
Oh, I doubt that. In fact, there's a pretty good chance you'll never get out of that cell. Not alive, at least.
What are you talking about? According to the law, I've got a right.
The law, huh? You've broken it every chance you've got. Tried to break the men who serve it, like you've tried to do with me, for instance. But when your own neck gets caught, you start hiding behind the law.
Well, nevertheless,
all right, the law. Fine. Right now, the law out here is kind of sketchy. Some things it covers, some things it doesn't. Well, that's where I come in. Now, this little affair between you and me is one of the things the law doesn't quite cover. So I'm going to run it my way.
That kind of talk won't help you any, Dillon.
You hired a man to kill me. Offered him $5,000 to get me out of the way.
You can't prove that.
He's made one try and he's missed. He's still around Dodge. Somewhere waiting, and he's going to try again. But I don't know who he is. So all the odds are with him.
That is your problem, Dillon, not mine. I don't know anything about that.
You know what'll happen, though, if he does get me. The first thing Chester's gonna do is come straight back here to the jail and pump a couple of bullets through these bars here.
Huh?
Your boy may kill me, Hale, but you're not gonna live to profit by it.
Oh, he wouldn't do it. Shoot down a helpless... Oh, neither one of you would do it.
Chester and I have been friends for a long time. Why don't you ask him whether he'd do it or not?
No question about it, Mr. Dillon. Of course I'd do it.
Oh, no, you wouldn't.
Well, you hired somebody to shoot Mr. Dillon in the back. I don't see where you got any kick coming.
Well, there's your answer, Mr. Hale. That's why I arrested you. Come on, Chester. Let's go look the town over.
Well, no. It's tonight that he's going...
Who's going to do what?
I don't know, Marshal. I don't know anything about it.
Now, that's too bad. If I knew his name, I'd have a lot better chance, you know. So would you. Well, we'll see you later, Hale. Or anyway, Chester will.
No, Dillon, you can't do it. Don't go up. He'll get you short. Dillon, no, wait. I'll tell you his name.
All right.
He's a trail driver. Came up from the Pecos last week. I doubt if you know him. His name is
Ed Granger.
Ed Granger?
Yeah, I've seen him around the bars. Dark-haired, surly-looking, scar across his cheek.
That's him. Of course, I'll deny all of this in court, you understand?
Yeah, sure, I understand. Come on, Chester, let's go get him.
Look, he's here all right, Mr. Dillon. Over there by the pine.
Yeah, looks like he's by himself.
What you gonna do? Arrest him?
Well, there's no evidence, Chester. The only way I see is to make it personal. Let's go.
Yes, sir.
Now, I want you to stay out of it, Chester. Just cover me, that's all.
Whatever you say, Mr. Dillon.
Your name, Ed Granger?
Might be. What about it?
You know who I am, don't you?
Judging by the star, I reckon you're a U.S. Marshal.
You ought to do better than that. After all, I'm worth $5,000 to you.
Yes, sir.
Who says so?
Lawson Hale.
What?
Your memory's getting better, huh?
I don't know what you're talking about, Marshal.
Sure you do. That deal you made with Hale. He told me all about it after I threw him in jail and persuaded him a little bit.
Well, I told you, I don't know anything...
You're wearing a gun there, Granger. Why don't you draw it and go for $5,000? Take a chance.
This fella you're talking about's in jail. I reckon he wouldn't have anybody working for him now, would he?
You tell me.
I got no reason to draw on you, Marshal.
Not unless my back's turned, huh? I think you're as yellow as Hale is.
This won't do you any good. I ain't drawing.
You tried to kill me night before last, Granger.
Can you prove that?
If I could, you'd either be in jail or you'd be dead.
Well, since you can't prove it, what's the argument?
Just that I don't like the idea of somebody trying to shoot me in the back. If you're any man at all, we'll settle this here and now.
Now leave me alone, Marshal. I haven't done anything.
Now, you still figure you got no reason to draw on me?
No reason. I ain't drawing.
You got 10 minutes to get out of town. And when you're out, stay out. Don't come back now or ever. You understand?
Yes, sir.
You can start right now.
Must be nearly midnight, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, about that, I guess, Chester.
My... This is sure one day I'm glad is over.
Yeah, so am I. At least I can breathe a little easier now.
Mm-hmm. I think I'll get this fire built up a little bit, Mr. Dillon.
No, leave it, Chester. Let's go take care of our prisoner first, huh?
Hey, we still haven't got any evidence. What are we going to do about him?
Same as with Granger. Turn him loose and run him out of town. We should have done it months ago. You got the keys?
Yes, sir. Right here, Mr. Dillon?
Huh? What are you looking at? Granger must have stopped by here on his way out of town.
He must have got Hale over at the window for a talk and then grabbed him and cut his throat right there.
Yeah. Figured Hale had sold him out, I guess. Got a bulletin on the wire, Chester. Wanted for murder, Ed Granger.
All right, sir, Mr. Dillon.
I guess Hale got pretty much what he bargained for. He hired himself a killer in order to kill him. He got it.
Gunsmoke, under the direction of Norman MacDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Tonight's story was specially written for Gunsmoke by Les Crutchfield, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Featured in the cast were Harry Bartell, Lawrence Dobkin, Jack Crucian, and Ralph Moody. Parley Bear is Chester, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. Gunsmoke is heard by our troops overseas through the facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. Join us again next week as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal, fights to bring law and order out of the wild violence of the West in Gunsmoke. Like Old Man River, the comedy just keeps rolling along every Sunday night when CBS Radio presents Amos and Andy. Tomorrow night, over most of these same CBS radio stations, the kingfish is sure to be up to his usual monkey business. And it's sure to make a monkey out of gullible Andy Brown. Listen for yourself. Don't let one single minute of the fun get away. Tomorrow and every Sunday night, it's Amos and Andy on CBS Radio. This is Roy Rowan speaking. And remember, Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy open fire on your funny bone every Sunday night on the CBS Radio Network.
Gunsmoke, titled Paid Killer, with an original air date of the 17th of January, 1953. I went ahead and left some of those promos in there, mainly the Amos and Andy one, because I've been kind of looking into that because of what's kind of the uncertainty, what's going on around here. The Amos and Andy show ran from 1928 to 1960. Created, written, and acted by Freeman Gosden and Charles Correll, two white men portraying African Americans. In the 1930s and 40s, it was enormously popular, but it lent itself to some sensitivity issues in its later years amongst the portrayal of African Americans. That might be a study for another time, because I have been looking into Amos and Andy here for a little while. My name is Arthur, and you've been listening to a pre-recorded version of the Grand Hour here on WMFO 91.7 FM and or WMFO.org. Thanks for listening.